Welcome, everybody, to WFHR's Playmakers for this December 19th, 2022. Your host, James J. Mailoff here. I am joined by my partner in sports, Randy Paul.
Why do I think it's December 18th?
I don't know. I'm not sure. We'll figure that out, though. We'll figure it out together.
Maybe that can be the question of the day for our listeners.
Maybe. It could be. 424-2600. That is the number to call if you want to join the conversation. Nobody ever made a highlight from the sidelines. Call up and join us. 424-2600. All your sports thoughts and feelings, we want to hear them. Bring them to the show. 424-2600. We want to send a big shout-out to our friends at Quality Plus Printing, getting your words out. Thank you for sponsoring the show and encourage you to head on over there for all your printing needs. Join our friends at Quality Plus Printing every Wednesday morning as well when they join us during the morning show with our Wicked Awesome Word of Wednesday. Looking forward to what we got in store for you this Wednesday. Also, real quick programming note here, Randy. We will have a bonus edition of Playmakers this week.
That's what I've heard.
Yeah. So this Friday in the morning magazine slot, we just thought talking with Pam and everything that it'd be a lot better than instead of trying to bring in guests on Christmas Eve and all this stuff and everything, that it'd be just be easier to use the staff that we already have in studio to cover the show. So nobody has to come here out of, you know, especially in the weekend when we know a lot of people are going to be traveling out of town and stuff this weekend. So join us this Friday. Seth and I will go ahead and run Playmakers for you, and we'll be taking your calls, your sports thoughts and feelings, and we'll see what comes up between Monday and Friday, conversation-wise, sports-wise, what's going on in the world. And there is a lot, plenty to take from, plenty to where we could start with a lot of different things. I've got like 18 different topics where we could go with this, Randy. Is there anything you come out of this weekend? Is there anything right out the gate that's the first sports thought you had?
You know, I stopped watching the Viking game at halftime. How did that turn out? Did they lose by like 60? Because they were down 33-0. I don't know. That got worse or how that... Oh, my God.
First up, I hope that Jeff Saturday is renting. I really do. I don't know. I really feel like he may have... I don't know if he was ever going to keep the job. The interim position. I don't know if he was ever going to keep that. I don't know if this was just something to, hey, you know, we got to do something for the season. Give us a little bit of, pomp and circumstance. I don't think that they did this. I don't know if they did this, if Jim Irsay made this move because he thought it was the best thing for the franchise or if it was, you know, the best thing for this half of the franchise, this season for the franchise. But I think that he may have cost himself that job with that loss. This is one of the 18 subjects that I did want to bring up today, actually, Randy. For people like myself that have not been taking the Vikings seriously, do we have to take them seriously now, or do you just look at that as, well, that's a team run by a guy who has literally never coached before. It's a team that wasn't very good to begin with. And you can poke holes in it and just say, well, this is the modern-day NFL where teams come back all the time. It's the biggest in NFL history, yes, but is it really that strange that a team was able to come back by four scores? If you break it down by, you know, four or five scores, it doesn't seem as big, but 33 points does. So my first question to the audience on Playmakers this week, are you taking the Minnesota Vikings more serious now, or has it changed your opinion at all? Because I have to admit, for me, I'm looking at them a little more serious now. I don't know. That does not mean I'm predicting them to win the whole thing or anything like that. I've still got Philly, Kansas City, San Francisco ranked ahead of them.
Buffalo, maybe.
I would put Buffalo ahead of them, yes. Yeah. But even with this sentence here, as I'm saying this, I wonder, am I taking them seriously? I don't know. I think I am, but maybe I'm not.
You know, they gave up 33 points in the first half. Both, you know, they just did not look good. And they scored, 39 points with the overtime session against the 31st defense.
Yeah.
If you take that into account. Yeah, I was talking the other night with somebody and just saying, who do you pick? I mean, this is going to be as wide open. You don't remember the Packers were the sixth seed, and they were only six seeds at the time when they won the Super Bowl in 2010. This could be one of those years, again, where the last wild card place team actually wins the Super Bowl, because as you look at both the AFC and the, you're listing off some teams, but I said, too, San Francisco, you like them. You know, they got that good defense and things. But then they've got the third string quarterback. And you know how defensive coordinators kind of figure this out after a while? And they'll have enough games now under their belt that And if they can figure out how to stop the run and then put a little pressure on Purdy, that could make San Francisco vulnerable. I just don't know who's favored. You know, you listed some really good teams. I mean, Miami, my goodness, they only lost by three to Buffalo, right?
Dallas looks pretty good.
Look, they beat Minnesota 40-3.
Yeah, right. Yeah,
right?
Yeah, right.
That's and yet the Packers beat Dallas.
Right.
And the Packers have, what, five wins?
Yeah.
So it is such. It's exactly what the NFL wants. Exactly what the networks want. Right. Even that game last night. I mean, how many games went down to the last? I think there were three games that went down to the final play. And basically, that game last night. You know, when they threw the incompletion / maybe not called interference in the end zone, and a couple of knees. That was basically the last play of the game too. And you talk about, you know, what are you thinking about? And I know we got a caller coming in, but how about that game with New England? And Las Vegas, where he laterals the football. It's not like they're losing. They're tied.
Yeah.
And they lateral right to Vegas, and he runs it in for the touchdown to win.
I've never seen anything like that before that a Bill Belichick team would do. I can't imagine what that locker room was like. I cannot imagine what that plane ride home was like. If they got a chance to ride home, he might have fired him in the shower.
I was going
to
say, yeah, is he still on the team?
Yeah, I don't know. That was pretty interesting. And there was something from last night's game I got to touch on, too. We'll take this call, though, first. Good morning. You're on Playmakers.
Why do we gotta talk about the Vikings?
Just for comic relief.
You know, you take them seriously. They showed a stat. They have the most one possession game wins this year. I just think they got the golden horseshoe stuck up somewhere where we can't really see on the air. Mm-hmm. And I don't know. I mean, granted, they have they got a really good receiving core. I'm not a real big fan of Kirk Cousins. I mean, he sometimes finds ways to lose his game. And another stat you have to look at, what happened to Matt Ryan in the Super Bowl against the New England Patriots?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. He had that, 34 to whatever it was, lead at halftime.
Yeah, 32-point deficit they came back from, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, so,
I'll admit, and I've said this on the air before, I don't believe that Kirk Cousins is a Super Bowl-winning quarterback. I never have. I could be very wrong about that because I believe Justin Jefferson could win a Super Bowl. maybe by proxy he might be able to or something. But I also I come into this subject like all of you and almost all of our listeners out there. We have to admit we are biased. We are biased about this team. We are biased about this subject. And I'm not saying that's a bad thing or a good thing or anything like that. I think it's just, you know, you have to own these things. I'm being very honest here. I can't look at any of these teams in our division with clear glasses. I'm very honest about this. I'm pulling for a Detroit, but if Detroit had been doing what Green Bay or Minnesota had been doing to my team the last 20 years, I probably wouldn't be. You know, so I think that's something also to consider in this conversation. It makes it that much harder to read that team and teams like that, and just teams in general this year. Talking to friends of mine and other fan bases of other divisions and everything, and they're in a similar spot. Where you can't gauge your you know, it's hard to tell who's good and who's not because you come into it with a bit of a bias already.
Yeah, any given Sunday, I think anybody can beat anybody. Mm-hmm. Going into the, you know, obviously going in, you know, like you say, the hottest team is, you know, it could be favored to win the Super Bowl. Yes, this year it's going to probably be by far the hardest year so far to determine who is the dominant team. I mean, Kansas City, I mean, they, you know, for the last few weeks, they looked dominant. They kind of struggled over the weekend.
Gosh,
Dallas has looked good.
Yeah, Kansas City, what? They almost lost to 112-1 Houston. Yeah. They had to go to overtime.
Right.
So, I mean, it just takes, you know, one game where, you know, Mahomes could be terrible. I mean, they had, Minnesota had, three turnovers in the first half?
Yeah.
I want to pick Buffalo, but Buffalo really hasn't been very consistent lately. They've been up and down.
I'll tell you this, I wouldn't bet a dollar on who I thought was going to win the Super Bowl. I would not bet a dollar on it. I got no clue, have no idea, and I laugh at anybody that says they do know. I just literally laugh out loud at any time I hear a talking head say, this team is going to end up winning the Super Bowl, or this team is a Super Bowl, it's going to be them in the final or whatever. Like, nobody knows. It's such one of those years.
People thought Philadelphia was going to be the contender. They had a tough time with Chicago yesterday. It's anybody's game this year, and whoever's healthy and who's playing the hottest team right now, I mean, that probably could be your Super Bowl champion.
Of all the teams that are ahead in their divisions and up there with records, and any of us that care about the NFL, we've already seen how the NFC South with Tampa Bay and New Orleans and all that, they got the losing record in first place and all that. We've been making fun of that all year. Even a team like that, I actually have more confidence in than Minnesota. I admit my bias. I admit that those things are there. I see what I said before. I don't believe in Kirk Cousins. He's a good quarterback. He's a great regular season quarterback, except for if you've got him in a prime time game most of the time. But I've never thought that he was your savior. I never thought he was the guy that was going to win it all for you or anything. Doesn't mean he couldn't win one. Doesn't mean that I don't think he's the reason you're going to win a Super Bowl. And in this day and age, you need that kind of thing. Or you need like a legendary defense. And they don't really have either one in Minnesota. Doesn't mean they couldn't win it. Everything, it's football. Anything can happen. Look what happened to them in the New Orleans game some years back in the playoffs and everything. So with Stephon Diggs. Yeah. It can happen. But I just have a hard time believing it. None of these teams would I put a dollar on.
And I think right now all four teams in the NFC East are in the playoffs if the playoffs were to start today. And I'm not sold on Washington or the Giants after watching last night's game. And, even like you said, the Eagles, they'll only beat the Packers by 7. They only beat the Bears by 5. Yeah. So there's not a lot of trust in that team yet. But, I mean, you can go through every team that is going to be in the playoffs or possibly could be in the playoffs, and you could say why they're going to win or why they're going to lose.
Before we let you go, sir, I did have one question I was going to ask the audience, and as long as we got a fan on the line here, whether the Packers win or lose tonight, regardless, but especially if they lose, should they sit Favre. Should they sit Rodgers the rest of the season and get what you can out of Love, see what you got in Love? Is it time to sit him? Now, Aaron needs surgery. He's got a billion injuries and all this. You can easily write it up as, we're putting him on the IR. His season's done. And it's not a thing where you have to worry about his pride getting nixed or anything like that. He's even come out and said that he understands if they do something similar to this. So a little bit of growth possibly from Aaron Rodgers there, or a little bit of the writings on the wall that he's seeing. Who knows? Either way, as fans, would you like to see what you got in Jordan Love with the first team, offense and everything? Or I'm not saying you want to have Aaron keep playing because you think you can make a big playoff run or something, but you just want him to keep playing because you want to get as much as you can out of this season. And hey, you're paying the guy more money than King Solomon here. Might as well get your money's worth. Where do you guys fall in this one? We'll go to the caller first here.
Well, the writing's been on the wall for Jordan Love. I mean, he's played with a team, that he practices with a one and all that. We know what we got of him. Could it be an audition for him to be traded to somewhere else? Yeah, it could be. If they don't put Aaron on the IR and do the surgery on the thumb and get things right for next year, could you, sit him? Paying him the kind of money you're paying him to just sit him to see what you got in Jordan Love when we kind of already know. I think they have to put him on the IR if you're going to sit him. I mean, I know he's come out and said that, he's good if they got to sit him, if they're out of the contention. Mm-hmm. He's got too big of an ego. Unless they're doing a good, do surgery on that thumb and kind of get things the ship righted for next year and to get him healthy. I don't see that happening because of his ego. Would I like to see them maybe play Jordan? But we already know what we have in him, and yeah. Just need to maybe move forward away from him too. I mean, it's one of those things. So
yeah, I'm going to go to Randy for his answer. But we always appreciate talking to you, sir. You have a great day. Thanks for hanging out with us.
All right, you guys have a happy holidays too.
You too. Happy holidays, sir. Happy holidays. Thank you. So, Randy, where do you fall on this?
Yeah, that's a tough one, right? Because, you know, we're just doing a little looking at schedules of other teams and everything and thinking the Packers could lose one more game in this whole mix. Mm-hmm. And they're probably going to, you know, if they're going to lose one, we're thinking probably at Miami on Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
But that would still mean they'd beat the Lions and they would beat the Vikings and, of course, the Rams tonight. Of all those games, you're thinking that there's no Aaron Donald tonight, so tonight's going to be your chance to win one.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah. It is hard. You guy making over $50 million a year to sit him down and start the surgery now. Well, you know, if you have surgery on this thumb, is it that? Are they going to have surgery for sure? I'm not certain on that.
Yeah.
So if they are, how long does that take to heal? So if you do it in January, is it going to be better by February already or March? You know, and I don't know. It's a good excuse to be able to put him on the bench and mm-hmm. and let Jordan Love play. Because I think what they see is that, you know, he is improving, but game time has got a lot different than practice.
Yeah.
And the little window we saw of him that one game when Aaron did go out, he looked good, but, you know, it was at that point where they were falling back on defense. So if you had him in there the entire game, you'd get a little better picture and see if he's still making those mistakes he's been making in the past.
Mm-hmm. Let's take a caller. Good morning. You're on the airwaves.
Yes. I just want to talk Brewers a little bit.
Okay, let's talk some Brewers.
I was happy to hear the Brewers got William Contreras in that three-team trade a week ago.
Ooh, what a move by the Brewers. What a move by the Brewers. I did not see that coming. That was a good move, I thought. Yeah, I'm glad this is coming up. I almost forgot about this. I'm
24 years old, ooh. And he was an All-Star this year.
Yeah, he was. Yeah. I don't know if you guys have seen this, too. One of the biggest things that they're pushing in baseball right now is you need a good catcher. These teams want a good, strong, solid catcher. Everybody except for the Cubs, apparently. These teams are like going out of their way to try to like scout catchers in college right now. And it's just this new renaissance. This isn't me. This is Jeff Passan and a lot of people who really know what they're talking about baseball. That there's a new they're looking at this as the golden age of catchers going forward because these kids in college right now. The way they're training them. It's kind of interesting.
Do you think they're going back to like the 70s and 80s, you know, when you had the Carlton Fisks, you know, and
looks
you
like
had
it.
Ted Simmons and Gary Carter.
Even for my us 90s kids and everything with the Santiagos. And I mean, it seemed like every team had a great catcher.
And, you know, they always talked about how you'd be strong up the middle, right? Catcher, short, the infield, short and second, and then the center fielders. And the third baseman and home run and the catchers, they were your home run guys, weren't they?
Yeah, and here's what I don't think I haven't heard anybody talk about, but I do think a part of the reason why you're seeing this, the rule changes in baseball. You're going to – that throw into second base, it hasn't been used as much in the last couple of years because just hasn't been as much stolen bases. You're going to see a huge increase in stolen bases coming going forward.
Because they can only throw over to first base how many times, right?
Right.
There's a limited number.
And there's a pitch clock now.
Yes.
So with all those things going through a pitcher's mind, as somebody who my favorite thing in sports arguably is the stolen base, and I've studied and love it. Oh, yeah. Oh, this is going to be a new day, I think. You're going to see a much bigger change in the next couple of years with that. So having a good catcher.
Some things to say, huh?
A nice move, right?
What about Owen Miller from Wisconsin, too?
Mm. Yeah, that was one of the things I was going to mention also. A good hitting catcher is the one piece that we were missing. William is the younger brother of Wilson, of course, and he hits 280, and he'll be 25 the day before Christmas, so he's going to be 25 pretty soon now, this week.
Yeah, and for those that didn't hear, coming out of the winter meetings, the Milwaukee Brewers landed their catcher, acquiring William Contreras in a three-team trade that sent catcher Sean Murphy from Oakland to Atlanta and Manny Pena from the Braves to the A's. And again, you're seeing catchers being moved around a lot there with that. So that's an interesting one. And we brought up Contreras signing with the Cubs' former catcher signing with Atlanta.
St. Louis.
That's right, St. Louis. Yeah.
With
that, so I mean, there's you're seeing a lot of these guys getting moved around right now. It's interesting. I don't remember the last time I was more excited about a baseball season than this one coming up. And it has nothing to do with the White Sox or the Brewers or anything like that.
Or the weather.
Yes. Okay, maybe a little bit of the weather. But no, it's these rule changes and wanting to see how this is going to play out. And just it's going to be a story every day. Mm-hmm. Like even, you know, when 140 games have been played, we'll still be talking about the rule changes and everything. I'm very curious to see how that improves the game.
Yep. Yeah, I think the Brewers are going to be a dark horse this year in the race. I really believe that they're going to go pretty far. They have a knack of teaching their catchers how to throw all people. They teach them that Manny Pena shuffle. Both Navarez and Caratina became better at throwing people out this year.
Don't you think, too, it's going to come down to how our closer, you know, ends up that we can close out games? Because if we can't, we saw how that hurt us last year. Probably kept us out of the playoffs.
Yeah, that trade that the piece that we traded, we got from San Diego with that trade to Hader. Mm-hmm. He traded that he was an eighth overall outfield prospect.
Yeah.
Ruiz, that kid. Mm-hmm. He's only 24 also, but
maybe not a player. If there's a player in mind, you can go ahead and name him, but is there a position you'd like to see them address next as far as for the Brewers?
No, you already mentioned Owen Miller. He's not going to be a great player, but he's the 12th Wisconsin-born player the Brewers have.
Yeah, and I think he plays first, second, and third, so he's a good utility player.
Love those utility players.
Yeah, he doesn't play third, I guess, because he doesn't have the arm for that, I guess, but he's pretty good otherwise. He's not going to be a strong hitter either, I don't think.
No, I think his average was down a little bit last year, but always good to have those utility players, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Oh, and we also got two pitchers out of that trade with when we got Contreras also.
Mm-hmm.
So that was pretty good, too.
Can never have enough pitching.
Yeah. Especially I think that farm system that they have and their scouts, they've proven they can, you know, take these just about any pitcher, and I don't want to say turn him into an all-star, but turn him into a productive pitcher. You know, it isn't as if either of the aces that they've had in the last couple of years came out of college and everybody expected them to be the next great ace or whatever. A lot of that has been built in the building.
Yeah, I think our starting pitcher will be okay. I just think it's the back end of the pen that's going to be the question mark.
Well, we'll find out what spring training brings us.
Yeah,
so we'll find out.
We're can't wait.
It shines when we go through spring training coming up.
We'll be talking some more baseball with you soon, sir. We always appreciate the call. Thank you for chiming in.
All right, thank you.
Have a great day. Thanks for the call.
Yeah, once we get through the new year, then we'll be anxious for March to come.
Yeah, much more so. But I don't think even with, you know, the Aaron Judge signing and with some surprise signings and all these other things, it's all interesting. But this season, the free agency, the winter meetings, all that just haven't meant as much to me because I'm so excited for the season.
Mm-hmm.
I'm paying attention, and it's interesting, you know, okay, here in that free agency, ooh, that's a signing. The Benetiari signing with the White Sox, like that was a huge signing for them. That's a nice signing for them. It's the biggest contract I believe that they've given out in ages. It's okay. I want to talk about the rule changes. I'm more focused on that. That's my team, and I'm still just very tuned in to it because I love baseball. But I don't love it nearly as much as Seth does out there, or my dad, or some of our listeners out there and everything. I want to see, for them, I want to see what this does. I want to see how, hey, can baseball bring back some people? Can the ratings go back up? Can we see this happen? There are a handful of things we love here in America. We love our apple pie. We love baseball. We love a comeback story. Maybe we can get two of those things in one. Can baseball have a comeback story? You know, with the ratings and everything? Because it's crazy to me to think that if you'd have told 10-year-old me, there's going to be a day where when they look at the ratings of the major sports, baseball is going to be fighting for third spot. I would never agree. I would never. I'd have thought you were coming from a different from a different universe, a different parallel universe or something. I would never believe that, but that's where we're at. We are. Baseball, to their credit, realized this. And now they've been working on this for over 20 years. They've been building ballparks in inner cities and in rural communities, making sure that trying to grow the game around the world and everything. So I think baseball takes way too many shots sometimes for their game being what baseball's always been. What can you do? This is baseball. It's always been this way. It's been played this way for over 100 years. How do you improve the game? How do you make a game faster? They're fine. They're trying. They're looking at things and trying to make it bigger and better.
Well, you know, it's amazing when you talk to people, and I don't care if you're talking baseball, if you're talking basketball, if you're talking college basketball, as exciting as that's been this mm-hmm. year, the NBA, Bucks have the best record in the NBA right now, mm-hmm. if you're talking NFL. How many people don't you talk to and they say, you know what, yeah, well, I turn it on the last 5 minutes.
Right.
Because
right,
football yeah, yeah. is over 3 hours long.
Yep.
The basketball games, well, yeah, it comes down to those final few seconds usually. And so I think all of the major sports, just with the way, with the advent of the internet and, you know, if you want to know something, you just grab your phone and you say, hey, tell me, you know, and it tells you.
Yeah.
So now it's just going to be a struggle, I think, for all the sports, in my opinion.
Take one more caller before we go to a break. Good morning. You're on the Playmakers.
Hey, good morning, James and Randy.
Hi.
Hey, good morning, sir. How are you?
Hey, what's up, Neil Biters, over the weekend?
Right?
Whew. Yeah. Including us, all football. Not just our football, but their football out there, too, in Europe and all around the world and everything with the World Cup.
Oh, was that fun?
That was a lot of fun.
He didn't play in Chicago yesterday when the Earths went up the middle.
Oh, yeah.
There's that, what, three guys on defense or what?
There's a defensive back for Chicago that's still running. That's still looking for Jalen Hurts and still running. Like, that play was ridiculous to watch that play. There's sometimes where I'm so thankful to the NFL with some of these camera angles. And that was one of those plays where you've got the overhead camera angle. So you see Hurts getting close into the it looks like he's going to either, like, run or he's going to pull back right away and do a quick screen pass. So I don't blame the defensive call of blitzing those safeties and corners and all that. That being said, you got to fill the holes here. And when you leave a hole that wide open, no, I would have ran through there. I mean, nothing against Jalen Hurts. He's an amazing kid and athlete and everything, possibly the MVP this year. But I feel like I could have ran through that hole with half the guys on the other side of me, too, that are playing to catch me, to tackle me.
First Green Bay and Minnesota, where is that game going to be?
Green Bay.
Yeah, it's in Green Bay. Always appreciate the time, sir. You have a great day.
You guys have a good day.
You too. Take care.
Bye-bye.
Real quick, before commercial break, it looks like just a little while ago, Josh Turner signed with the Red Sox.
Yes. Hmm. I saw that last night that it was right imminent. So
I just saw that. I didn't see that, yeah.
That'll be weird not having him on the Dodgers.
Really? Yeah. That red hair going to go well with the Red Sox, though. That's going to fit really good with him.
That's why he signed.
That's why. It's the only reason. We will take a quick commercial break. When we come back, Randy's got some local stuff for us. I also want to talk a little bit of the Wisconsin Badgers and some of these recruits they've been bringing in. We'll get to all of that coming up when we come back with Playmakers, brought to you by Quality Plus Printing, getting your words out here at WFHR. Welcome back, everybody, to Playmakers here on WFHR. Of course, brought to you by our good friends at Quality Plus Printing, getting your words out. Quick reminder that this Friday, in this time slot, we'll have a special edition of Playmakers, an overtime edition of Playmakers, if you will. We're going to have some fun with that show. Seth and I will be doing it, and we want to take your calls, of course. One of the things Seth and I will touch on, best Christmas Day moments in sports history.
Ooh.
There's some really cool ones that I'd forgotten about, actually,
sure.
That happened. So looking forward to that. But Randy Paul, my partner in sports, does an amazing job covering local stuff for us. Randy, what do you got today?
Well, for boys high school basketball from this last week, of course, we had a lot of postponements with the weather. We had schools canceled, and that made things difficult. So we'll have to try to go over the last week or so here. In the Valley for the boys, Wisconsin Rapids came up 10 short at Holman on on Friday night, 67-57. Cade Youngworth led the Raiders with 20 points, while Sean Reynas added 10. Marshfield held off D.C. Everest 63-60. Smash trounced 3-Dubs 57-29. And Wausau East had little trouble with Merrill, 86-70. In the Merriwood South, in a game you heard on our sister station, WIRI, Edgar twice overcame 12-point deficits, once in the first half, once in the second half, and they rallied past Assumption 60-47. Ryan Shaw led the Royals with 23 points, while Blake Loebner added 12. Elsewhere, it was Auburndale upsetting the number one team in Division 5, Newman Catholic, 57-49. Alex Wilford had 17, while Caden Young Weinfurter and Mason White Eagle each added 13. And 8th-ranked Marathon, they're still undefeated as they stay on top and stop Stratford 60-35. Central Wisconsin South Port Edwards, they improved to 6-1 overall. They're 2-0 in conference as they whipped Gresham 81-33. Nathan Gibbs leading the way with 15 points. Timmy Tranel adds 11, while Brendan Beck and Logan Parker each threw in 10. The Blackhawks now host Nisida tonight. Pacelli is now 3-0 in conference action as they pop Pittsville 57-40. The Panthers were led by Sam Bowden with 13 points, and Elman Bancroft went to Tri-County and iced the Penguins 92-22. Down in the South Central, Nakusa couldn't quite complete the comeback as they fall at Westfield 50-45. They'll now entertain Northland Lutheran tomorrow night in a contest you'll be able to hear on our sister station, WIRI, starting at about 6:55. On Saturday, Adams Friendship entertained Appleton West, and they fell to the Terriers 68-58. Watoma whipped Wyawega Fremont 67-53, and the Dells fall at home to Columbus 62-50. In girls' high school basketball action in the Valley, Rapids hasn't played since last Monday when they traveled to New London, losing 55-35. Gabby Nylitz was the leading scorer with 8 points. Marshfield remains undefeated as they cut down the trees of Evergreen of Everest, 63-21. Spash picks up a tough road win at Wausau West, 54-51, and Merrill gets a non-conference W over Northland Pines, 67-40. In the Merriwood South, having not played for 10 days now, the second-ranked Assumption Royals will be back in action tonight against Loyal, and you can catch all of the action on FM 105.5 WIRI starting a little bit after 7 o'clock. And speaking of Loyal, the Greyhounds lost at home last Tuesday to Stratford, 34-22. Edgar improves to 5-1 as they pummeled Prentice 53-23. Newman Catholic's now 5-4 as they stop Spencer 42-26. And from the Merriwood North, third-ranked Athens was upset at home by Phillips 75-66. In Central Wisconsin South action, Port Edwards loses at Wild Rose 75-10. The Hawks host Nisida tonight. Pittsville's now 5-1 with a 56-15 toppling of Tri-County. Reese Grimm and Bryn Friday led the Panthers with 14 apiece. Pacelli also beat the Penguins last week 56-16, as did Almond Bancroft 50-28. The Eagles now a perfect 8-0. And on Friday, Rochelle loses on the road to Wild Rose 50-40. In the South Central, Nakusa loses at third-ranked Westfield 74-12. Papermakers will be at Port tomorrow night. Watoma improves to 7-0 as they sting Adams Friendship 32-21. And the Dells picks up a win at Mauston 57-28. The River Kings on Thursday, they lost to Pueblo Bulls 5-0. On Friday, they fell to the Metro Jets Development Program 2-0. And on Sunday, they lost to the Metro Jets 2-0 as well. So their record now 6-11, and they're off now till January 7th, 8th, and 9th when those poor young men and coaches have to travel to Florida.
Yeah, those poor things.
So if they find us in the luggage rack, they shouldn't be surprised.
Yeah, no, not at all. I'm definitely going to look for a way to fit in there. Great work there, Randy. Thank you so much for all that, the information. Appreciate it. And some really interesting stuff going on locally with a lot of our local teams right now. So early in the basketball season to really be able to tell who's good, who isn't high school-wise. So I look at the season broken up in a number of different ways, especially with the high school level. And these first couple of weeks, I'd say the first dozen games almost, you know, I just want to see the scores. I want to see, you know, teams I haven't seen in a while and the scores and keep an eye on that and seeing players. But also keeping an eye out, not so much at records, but do teams have blowouts? you know, who's getting blown out. I'm not so much focused on the team blowing another team out as a team getting blown out. That is a little more of a sign like, okay, well, that maybe that is a team that may not going to do much this year. You know, and it's a little bit of figuring out who's good by who's bad, sort of.
You know what's funny is that you say that, because I was actually looking at that exact thing this weekend, and one of them that I saw and made me think of that was, how good must DePere be this year in Division One?
Yes.
Because they beat Bayport, and I thought, is Bayport struggling? No, Bayport's ranked 10th in the state.
Oh, there! I didn't know that.
And they beat them, like, here's pretty close to the numbers I remember seeing, because I saw a lot of numbers this weekend, like 91-57.
Jeez.
And if you're beating the 10th ranked team in the state by basically 40 points, you're like, DePere must be really good.
Right.
You know.
That tells you. Now, that, see, I agree. That tells you a little something there. Yeah. But, you know, we've seen with college basketball this year, you know, NC North Carolina ranked third or whatever. They barely win a game, or they haven't even won a game yet. They're not even ranked anymore.
No, and they lost like 3-4 games already. I think they were number one at one point.
Yeah.
This week, number two lost, number four lost, number six lost. So three teams in the top 10 got beat. Now, granted, Tennessee, number six, got beat by number nine, Arizona.
Mm-hmm.
But Virginia lost to number nine, five, Houston. So at least they're... But Purdue, number one in the country, they beat Davidson by eight. Right?
Man, Purdue... So I remember Glenn Robinson... over at Purdue. I remember those days.
With the Bucks, right?
I remember when he was in college.
Yeah.
And signed
with the Bucks later,
Trying to think, there was another Purdue kid that I...
Rick Mount, I love it. Back in the 70s. Oh my gosh.
I can't think of many times, though, we've talked about Purdue basketball. We've talked about, like, them possibly having the greatest player in the country. And they do possibly have the greatest player in the country, who's also 7'7". That guy...
He's a monster.
And unlike... What really catches me about this kid is not just that he's, you know, ungodly tall, that we've seen that, Manute Bol and plenty of others. He's stocky.
Oh.
And he's agile.
Yes.
Like, I think of a young Shaquille O'Neal in some ways. I'm not trying to overstate the kid or anything like that, you know, but the thing that surprised me about Shaq wasn't that his size. It was his speed in college. It was his agility in college. That's what surprised me about Shaq. We've seen big guys. We've seen big guys play basketball. Never seen anybody like Shaquille. I still don't believe we've seen anybody the size and the way, the speed of Shaquille O'Neal. This kid, not built like out as much as Shaq, more in, but he's got foundation to him. He's not... you know, this kid Timmy that came out last year, or some of these others that come out that are 7 foot tall, but they're like, they got a physique like I do, you know, and that, like, this kid's stocky. He's got like he has a shelf life. It doesn't have a shelf life.
Yeah, kid for Arizona like that too, Ballo. You know, we just seen how he's improved over the years, and he was pretty powerful against Tennessee the other night. The other thing we were just talking about too is how difficult that it is to make it in the NBA. We were talking about how, think of the Badgers teams, back-to-back Final Fours, right?
Yeah.
Got to the national championship game. And who on that team is in the NBA?
Hmm.
Frank Kaminsky, who plays a few minutes, maybe.
Yeah.
Is he with Atlanta? We're even guessing who he's with.
Right.
He went from Phoenix. We think he went to Atlanta. I didn't look it up. It's just so difficult.
Hmm.
So no matter, you can watch these great players, and then all of a sudden they'll get some of these kids out of Europe, right? And they'll draft them. And then the people that you think are going to be great, Kaminsky, player of the year, right?
Yeah, you look at Kentucky, Kansas, you know, Duke, all these teams with 5-star recruits and all this, and like none of them really end up being that great. Like the last time, many of them, you know, you can count on one hand almost how many of these kids end up turning out.
And then where did Ja Morant go to college?
Right. Yeah. Yeah,
I looked at it and I still can't remember.
Yeah, and didn't get one like scholarship offer from any major schools. Like,
is he phenomenal against the Bucks? I swear, there was one time he was going down the lane at about 100 miles an hour, and then he stopped, and then in slow motion continued.
It didn't seem like slow motion. I don't know if I've ever seen a player that reminds me more of two players combined in Russell Westbrook and Allen Iverson. Mm. Like, he reminds me so much of both those guys, but like if they had a child. Like, it's the only thing. I can't say he looks like more one than the other. His game reminds me of both of them so much. The way he rushes down the court, it's so Westbrook, that freight train kind of thing. And then the way that he is at and inside the lane there is very, very Allen Iverson of... you don't see guys that size that are unstoppable in basketball. That just doesn't happen very often. Yeah, he's one of them.
So they beat the Bucks like 140 to 101, and then the next night they lose to just some average team. It's just like, yeah. It's like in the NFL, right?
It's really something.
A lot of parody.
I want to take our final break real quick, come back, and I want to talk transfer portal, and a little bit of that with your Wisconsin Badgers and your new coach, Fickell. We'll get into that when we come back here on Playmakers here at WFHR. Welcome back to Playmakers, brought to you by Quality Plus Printing, getting your words out here at WFHR. Randy and James here, and the phone lines are open, everybody, 424-2600. Do you have any sports thoughts and feelings? Bring them to the show. We want to hear from you, 424-2600. For right now, want to talk a little bit of Wisconsin Badger football, some of these kids that have been brought in, some of the things that have been going on. For those that did not hear, Graham Mertz entered the transfer portal, and he will be signing with Kentucky. So Mertz is moved on to the Kentucky Wildcats, going to be taking on, I believe, that their quarterback Levis left for the NFL draft, and he's predicted to be a pretty high pick. So you wish Graham Mertz well, I think that the kid, he's a kid, first off, the situation that he was in Wisconsin wasn't easy, and he didn't make it easy on himself either some of the times. I think that it can be a little bit of both in this situation. But I also wanted to bring up Graham Mertz because, you know, Wisconsin waited, I believe it was 130 years to bring in their first four-star quarterback, and it was Graham Mertz. They waited 130 years to do this. Coach Luke Fickell has been in the job for about 2 weeks and just brought in his first four-star quarterback.
You know, I can remember when Russell Wilson played his first game with the Badgers, and he scrambles out of the pocket, and he runs down the sideline and goes for about 40 yards. And whoever I was with at that game, I looked at him and said, oh, my gosh, we've got a quarterback that can actually run. You know, nothing to take away anything from Darryl Bevell, because he had that great play in the Rose Bowl and stuff.
Yeah.
But I think that's what we're going to announce. That's the type of quarterback that Wisconsin's going to now see, starting with this young kid. And there's more quarterbacks that are still looking.
Right.
This is getting exciting.
Nick Evers already is a star dual threat quarterback in high school. In his final two seasons in high school, passed for 44 touchdowns and over 5,000 yards and rushed for 18 touchdowns.
Is he any relative of our governor?
No, but he's already got a built-in nickname. They're already calling him the governor.
I love it.
It's so good. It's so good. This kid looks amazing, Randy. And to Randy's point, he's not the only one. There's other quarterbacks that are literally right now in Madison meeting with the team and stuff.
Isn't there a top running back, too, that's looking at coming in again?
Well, the kid that so they got a recruit that was going to go to Colorado and is coming to Wisconsin. He's a four-star running back. And then their defensive back from Cincinnati they're bringing over, who was a four- or five-star cornerback. If you've been paying attention to Cincinnati football, which if you haven't, I don't blame you, they've been bringing in like sneaky NFL players. The Sauce Gardner is a great example, but there's plenty of other ones too.
Yeah, they were just in a bowl game the other night, I think, with a record of 8-3. You know, as a mid-major, just appearing in these. And the year before, were they undefeated? I believe it was the year before, 2 years ago already. So you talked about when we first signed him, how excited you were about him coming in and what he could do on the recruitment trail. And so far, so good, right?
The guy's not even in a month in the job, and he's already done this. I mean, it's impressive. And this is the new college football. Mm-hmm. You look at what Lincoln Riley did with USC last year. A literal overnight changed that whole team. I almost called them a franchise because that's where we're going with these teams now and everything. They might as well be, you know, at pro teams. It's so darn cool to see this happening. But USC is USC. Like, we're talking about this with Wisconsin. That means something. It means something that Fickell chose them. That says a lot right there. But it also means something if you're a team of a team that isn't a USC, isn't Alabama, isn't, you can have some hope. You can have, their things can improve for you too. What's going on with the Big Ten? It can't be taken lightly.
You know, that's a great point, because Michigan, right? A couple of years ago, they were struggling there a little bit, and which is really weird for Michigan, right? It was always Ohio State, Michigan, right? And they were struggling a little bit, right? And all of a sudden, boom, here they are playing for the national championship again. They're in the Final Four, and And I know it's probably going to be a lot easier. You got Harbaugh. You got the name Michigan. That's got to make it easier to recruit.
Yeah.
But I still think if you can turn Michigan around just like that, and Wisconsin, by golly, you know, they went to a couple of Rose Bowls, and they were in the top 10 for a lot of years there.
Oh, yeah.
And now you got this new coach with this new energy. It's not impossible. I know the odds aren't great to win a national championship, but wouldn't it be fun just to be, and especially if they expand the playoffs? I really think if they go to 12 teams, we're going to be talking that the Badgers have an opportunity to be in that top 12. I don't want to say every year, but maybe.
Oh, at least in the discussion going in, like preseason discussion, yes.
Right?
I think that's, I don't think that's just, that's something. Now, I said earlier, I wouldn't bet a dollar on anybody to win the Super Bowl. I'd bet $1,000 on that, what you just said there, Randy, mm-hmm. that they will be in that discussion going forward here when they not only expand the playoffs, but once, again, he just got there. Once he shows a season or two of winning, the recruits they're going to be able to land where they're not portal transfer. They're just coming there. They're just coming literally straight from high school to Wisconsin, to UW.
And really did seem like all the years, you know, outside of the Russell Wilsons and the Graham Mertz, who just didn't really pan out. I mean, we've just always struggled. We've had wide receivers. We just have struggled to get quarterbacks.
Yeah.
And if he can get us some quarterbacks and we can continue to play solid defense, get the good running backs to go with the quarterbacks, it should be. Hypothetically, a lot of fun.
Yeah, apparently there's some rumors going around. That it's not official yet, but they may have signed another kid today. I just noticed that just as we were getting on the air, back on the air here and everything. I have a question for you, the audience. We got about 7-8 minutes left here. Big Ten going forward, should they get away with the divisions or not? Because I've seen a lot of talk about this. Them, you know, USC, UCLA are coming into the fold. They're not going to be the last teams that they're going to bring in. They're going to bring in more teams, more likely West Coast teams or something. Would it be better off getting rid of divisions, or is that the only thing that's going to really help you as far as travel time? Imagine when Rutgers has got to go play USC.
Just going to say that. Exactly. You know, Rutgers, all the Penn State, all of those East Coast teams going all the way to the West Coast and vice versa. Ouch, huh? That's a good thing that they must have deep pockets in their programs. Yeah. So it doesn't matter or anything. But, boy, can you imagine? Now, how are they going to realign the West, right? So if we think about it, it's going to have to be Wisconsin, Minnesota, Illinois, Nebraska, UCLA, USC. We're going to have a seventh team out there, right?
One of these things is not like the other.
Did I say Iowa already? I mean,
No, I don't think you did. But, I know Iowa in there, too. Yeah.
So there'd be your seven teams, you know. So you don't have to have the, you know, Purdue in the East anymore.
Right.
You can have everything basically like
Michigan.
Oh,
I didn't think of that.
Like Michigan over could be the West and go from there. But if that's the case, oh, my gosh. Can you imagine how tough it's going to be? We're talking about the Badgers being in this conversation.
Yeah.
Now we're talking, part of the conversation is USC, UCLA, and then maybe playing a Michigan or Ohio State every year on top of it. Whew, it's going to be brutal.
Well, we're feeling pretty good here in Wisconsin about a lot of these things. I'll tell you, they are just a little ways away. They're not feeling nearly as good about their team in Ohio State. Like, they're getting ready to fight for a college playoff championship, and they're so focused on next year. And I don't know how this is going to go for them. I don't know if they don't genuinely believe in this team and they're just kind of like seeing the writing on the wall or whatever. But they got a head coach who nobody can give you a straight answer if he's going to be there or not next year, even though he's under contract. And they have recruit after recruit just leaving. And nobody is talking about why necessarily they're leaving. Especially because, again, they're the fourth-ranked team in the country. They're Ohio State. They owe all this stuff. But they just lost the top recruit quarterback, and two other recruits have left, too. And there's a handful of other kids that are entering the portal as soon as the college playoff is done.
I'm sorry. Am I smiling too big?
Yeah. You and me both, Randy. Yeah, you and me both. I don't. I'm not one of those people that usually likes to take joy in teams that I don't like losing or anything like that. But
in this case, we'll make an exception.
In this one case, I am, in part because I don't, it's one thing to, like, I wasn't a big fan of New England, you know, when they were on that run and everything, but I never got the idea that that was a team built on egos, and they believed that they were better than anybody else or whatever. It was a team that worked hard. It was a team that, you know, they found ways to win. And again, even though I didn't like them, I never hated them. I had a respect for them. I respect Coach Belichick, that kind of thing. I don't respect a team that just kind of walks into the game. We got more talent than you got, so we're going
to
win.
Oh, well, but, what do they have, like 66 four- or five-star recruits compared to the Badgers' 21? It was just, like, ridiculous.
That only gets you so far.
Yeah.
Ask the Miami Hurricanes about that. Miami Hurricanes came into this season with one of their better recruiting classes in the last 10, 15 years, I believe, and they lost to Middle Tennessee State. I mean, you know, you got to be able to put it. Not only put these kids on the field, you got to make them believe in your system. You got to make your system work for these kids instead of vice versa. And there's so many other factors. And with the NIL licensing and everything, these kids are realizing I don't have to go to Ohio State to not only get drafted in the NFL, but to be seen. Like, my family's going to be able to see me no matter where I play in the country nowadays. Mm-hmm. ESPN Acho will have me on the TV or something.
Yeah, somebody was saying, oh, there's too many bowl games. I'm like, you know what? Normally when they match up these teams, they're pretty equal because of the records, right? Now, yeah. Every once in a while there's a blowout. There are a couple of them this weekend. But for the most part, you know, it's kind of fun TV. It's nice. It's over the holidays. Yeah. You know, something to watch. And then you get to, like you said, you get to see some of these kids who get a chance to be on national television and maybe make a name for themselves and go up the draft boards.
One of my favorite things when I was young was watching preseason NFL football.
Oh, right.
Because you saw so many kids from college that you probably were not going to see after that. They were not going to make an NFL team. Maybe they would, but you not only saw, but then you saw, oh, wait a minute, this kid's actually good. Like, yeah. You know, the surprise.
There'd be that diamond in the rough, right?
Yes. Yeah. So, of course, that's not there anymore, no. But it used to be one of those cool things I thought. I'm so interested to see Wisconsin's next 10 years and what that's going to look like. This is a guy who Fickell showed you in Cincinnati. This is where I want to be. I'm going to stay here. Got the USC offer, the Oklahoma offer, or all the nope. Took the Wisconsin job. Likes the Midwest. Likes being here and likes going to a school where I could be there for the next 10 years.
Well, we hope he likes cold and snow because he's going to see it in the next week.
Yep, definitely.
We'll find out.
He's going to get embodied into Wisconsin real weather quick. Pretty quickly here. Again, just some programming notes. Wanted to let everybody know a little bit later today, you'll have the Greg Gard Show right here on WFHR at 6:05. And then our sister station on WIRI Wisconsin, our pregame starts at 7:10, Loyal versus Assumption, girls basketball. Randy Paul on the call, y'all. You know it's going to sound good with him and Don getting together. That's going to be a good one. And Randy, no stopping you. You're going to be busy tomorrow as well. Again, on Wisconsin WIRI, 6:55, our pregame will start up. Nakusa boys basketball hosting Northern Lutheran. Anything that stands out about either of those games, Randy? Just too early to tell.
It'll be my first chance to see the second-ranked Assumption Royal girls, so that'll be fun, right? 8-0 on the year. And Nakusa, you know, I saw them the very first game of the year. It'll be fun to see them, you know, after playing about a third of their schedule now to see where they are. They played some good games. Nash Kretschmar is always fun to watch and see what he can do over there as well. So it should be a good couple of nights.
Hope you and Don enjoy the games. Have a great call. And if I don't talk to you beforehand, have a great Christmas, Randy.
Yeah, you as well. Merry Christmas. Happy New Year, everybody.
And appreciate all the work you put in.
Thank you.
We'll be back with another Playmakers next week. Be listening for it then. A big shout out to our friends at Quality Plus Printing, getting your words out. Have a great day, everyone. Stick around for more good stuff right here at WFHR.